Chinese bushwhacker Luke here, 2015 Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Bert Buckle Talk. Yeah! Whoa!
This is pro wrestling's only modern-day Viking Gunner, and you're on Turnbuckle Talk.
Hey, this is Nick Magnus Toldis, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Talk.
Hi, this is Leva Blue Pants Bates, and you are listening to Turnbuckle Talk.
Hey, this is Jeff Jarrett, the King of the Mountain and founder of Global Force Wrestling, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Talk.
Hey, fellas, you guys have a great day, and this is only because I'm talking to Canadians. It is actually spitting snow in Tennessee.
See?
Oh, my God.
We've had 70-degree weather here. We really had a warm December, and I get on the phone with damn Canadians, and we're spitting snow.
And it hasn't been 70 degrees here in Sault Ste. Marie, but it has been nice and warm at least, and let us warm up your ears with some pro wrestling talk. I am Carl Carafell. I am joined alongside Chris Best. In this episode, 363, Wrestling with Hollywood. It's an interesting concept. It's an interesting topic for us to have. And we are definitely going to be talking about that later in the show, so stick around. Chris, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Doing excellent. Had a nice, quiet, relaxing day, minus some minor troubles that I talked with you about before we got on here.
Right. Yeah, they happen.
Yeah.
They happen, unfortunately. Before we get into everything here today, I want to remind everybody that if you enjoy the product that you are seeing, make sure you tell your friends. If you're seeing us on YouTube or Twitch, please subscribe to the channels. Leave us a thumbs up. Or if you want to listen to us in audio format, check out GoodPods, goodpods.com/podcasts/turnbuckle-talk-264524. You can go there and you can leave ratings and rankings for us on Good Pods, which helps get the show out to more people. I want to give a huge thank you to Good Pods because they have showcased us a couple of times now, and it's been absolutely fantastic. And we're usually sitting within the top five of 100 every single week. And with your guys' help, we can continue to stay up in the top five. And even maybe carry the top one for a while.
I'm not acknowledging Roman Reigns, but I'm acknowledging us right now. For those who are out in podcast land, I put my one finger up.
Backbreaker Media has been absolutely fantastic over on their Discord channel. They continue to showcase every time that Turnbuckle Studios does go live, sends it out to all of their people in there as well. So thank you, Backbreaker Media and Mike the Ref. We got our first comment coming in here today from the Bulkster saying, "Hello, Bulk Maniacs. Glad I could make it to the discussion, and I'm glad you could as well. We don't necessarily have a lot to talk about tonight, but it's pretty substantial stuff that we have to talk about. Chris, what do you want to talk about first?
I think I want to talk about a story that irks me as a gamer to a degree. Today, there were a lot of reveals that happened today within the WWE universe. And I want to start off with talking about Pat McAfee, who we all know was announced as a DLC for WWE 2K24. He will be in WCW in the DLC pack 3. In that pack, it said Pat McAfee plus 3 hosts. It didn't specify what those hosts were until Pat McAfee revealed it on his show today. Pat McAfee and his 3 co-hosts of the Pat McAfee show are all going to be playable characters in the game. And this actually irked a lot of the wrestling fans by saying that this is taking the spot of wrestlers who should be in the game. Wrestlers like, I was going to say Lyra Valkyria, but she is a future DLC, so she's in the game regardless.
Right.
But there's a number of wrestlers like Lexus King, who's not in the game. But at the same time, when Lexus King joined the WWE, they already had their roster finalized for the game.
They did.
So I got to ask you, Carl, how does this make you feel? Is this really pushing out potential spots for other wrestlers in the game? Even though, like I said, they finalized the roster back in October. I found confirmation on that. What do you make of this?
I don't believe that it should happen. Now, I can understand Pat McAfee. 100%. He's been inside the ring. I understand that. If we were to include like Bad Bunny, right? Like, I get that as well.
He's right? in the game as well. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, these people who have competed inside the WWE, I totally get and I understand that. Now, if they wanted to include the other hosts or the co-hosts of the Pat McAfee show, they could have included them maybe in a little bit of a different concept, maybe not necessarily as playable characters, but maybe the other three come down to the ring with Pat McAfee during a matchup, during one of the challenges, possibly.
Yeah.
I think that this could have been used in a better way to maybe allow us some other classic superstars to make their way back into the games as well. Why couldn't we use some of these people that are going into the WWE Hall of Fame? Because I'm sure they kind of already knew who they were going to be putting into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
So why not include them into the game? Which may give away who's going to be in the Hall of Fame. But then you kind of include some other ones. Like you include a Ric Flair. You include Bam Bam Bigelow. You include Papa Shango. You include a few others from the past. Right. While including those that are going into the Hall of Fame. How cool would it be to play as Bull Nakano?
No word of a lie, Carl. One night when off stream, Parrish and I were talking about this, I said how cool it would it be to play as Bull Nakano. Muhammad Ali is already in the game. Muhammad Ali is going into the Hall of Fame this year. But right. to even play as the US Express, to Paul Heyman's already in the game too. So to use him as a manager, I've already done that. It's fun.
Right.
But to play as Bull Nakano and like give me some dream matches with her and Asuka, give me that any time of the day.
Right. I 100% I think that would be better suited include them.
But to go ahead with what Pat McAfee had also stated, that he didn't want to add the hosts to the game if they were going to push wrestlers out of the game. The guys at 2K Studios had said this isn't going to push wrestlers out of the game, because they're when a wrestler signs to be a part of the game, that's a whole separate deal from what the WWE does. So I'm sort of miffed at it. I do agree that the hosts, the co-hosts of Pat McAfee should be managers, should be accessible as managers for Pat McAfee or for whichever wrestler you play as.
Right. Bulkster's got a very good opinion here as well, saying, in my opinion, no. With community creations, there's a lot of talented creators that will make these other characters. They do put these characters in games in the past with it connected to the internet. I'm sure they take data as if wrestlers are being used or not. And he's talking wrestlers from the past.
Yeah. So what he's talking about is in the game you can create wrestlers and you can share them with other players on your PS4, Xbox, PS5, whatever.
And that's been around for a while, because I know that my friend Ryan Carlella, you know Ryan as well.
I do.
He was doing a online wrestling league for a while. And he was creating characters, and he created me, he created OMD, he created a bunch of other of our friends, and he was able to share them with us. I think that that's a great idea as well.
You triggered something that I want to ask you after the show.
Okay. Hopefully one of these amazing creators does do Bull Nakano now that this news of her being in the WWE or going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame came out. I'm hoping that we start to see some Bull Nakanos coming and making their way.
I've made Bull Nakano in the past. I know where all her parts are, so that might be me.
That didn't sound creepy at all. I know where all her parts are. Okay.
The parts to create her.
Oh, God.
I literally came across her hairstyle yesterday when I was creating something. So.
Oh, nice. Now, can you get the face paint?
If not, I can create the face paint.
Okay, interesting.
Because you can create the face paint from scratch.
Okay, nice. Because that's iconic with Bull Nakano.
Oh yeah. But yeah, there's a part of me that's intrigued to see what they do with these co-hosts, but at the same time, probably not going to play as them. I'll flat out admit that. I will be playing as Pat McAfee because I do want to relive the matches he did in War Games and whatnot. So.
Right. No, that's understandable. 100% yeah. That's understandable. Yeah.
But what do you say we move on to another big reveal? And I know that this is something that you could easily discuss on. Logan Paul. Logan Paul is revealed where SummerSlam is going to take place this year. And it's got me kind of excited because it is close to our neck of the woods. SummerSlam is coming to Cleveland, Ohio. He officially Cleveland confirmed rocks. It. He officially confirmed it. He's going to be on the show. Not sure who he's going to be facing yet, but he will be there. They're going to be doing it at the Cleveland Stadium, the Cleveland Browns Stadium. It's a huge stadium, by the way. Unfortunately, they've got a losing team.
Right.
What do you make of this announcement? I mean, we knew that rumors were circulating that it was going to be either, I think it was Las Vegas or Cleveland, and Cleveland got it.
Right. I like the idea because it's SummerSlam. It's a summer event, which means that they don't have to necessarily go down to the warmer states. Mm-hmm. I've been to Cleveland. I was there for a weekend. I thought Cleveland was pretty cool. I've been to Columbus, where Alexa Bliss is from. I've been to Columbus, Ohio, several times. Ohio is nice. Mm-hmm. And even during the summer, it's freaking nice in the summer because I've gone there for rock festivals, for music festivals in the summertime. This is pretty cool. It's going to be taking place at the Cleveland Browns Stadium on Saturday, August the 3rd.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. They're moving back to their August timeline instead of last year where they did it in July.
Right? Yes. Back to August where it should be. Mm-hmm. And I love that they're allowing the news to really kind of be put out there by other people.
Right.
Like we got Pat McAfee talking about, you know, the video game. And then we've got Logan Paul now talking about SummerSlam. And, you know, we keep seeing as well when the Hall of Fame announcements are coming out, you know, as first heard on IGN or first heard on CNN or whatever, right? First heard on Variety. I love that they're allowing that to happen because it's opening it up to a whole other base of people that maybe don't necessarily know or understand what professional wrestling is, but because it's something that's coming to their area, they might be like, hey, maybe I need to check this thing out, do a little bit of research, find out that they actually enjoy professional wrestling, and then make their way and pay for a ticket. Bulks are saying just under 4 hours away from Cleveland.
So what's exciting me about SummerSlam is that in these last few years is they are going to the big stadiums, but they're going to cities that, you know, wouldn't be considered for a wrestle, that may not be considered for a WrestleMania, in using the stadiums there. And I really like that. I really do.
Yeah, me too. I definitely do. It's nice to see different.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We get the same thing all the time. And it's nice that we're seeing different come mm-hmm. from this new era of the WWE. Bulkster, just so that you know, we are about 7.5 hours away from Cleveland.
Yeah.
Which isn't terrible. It's like a drive to Toronto for us.
Oh yeah. Unless you get highway detours like we did on our way to SummerSlam 04.
Right.
Then 7 hours turned to 14 hours.
Yeah, I'm not even discussing that.
Well, hey, at least we found a bunch of little cool little shops to stop and check out on the way down.
We did. Unfortunately, we missed the majority of the access mm-hmm. at the Ontario place. But we did get treated to a really cool experience that day where we got to witness a Fozzy concert.
Oh,
for
yeah.
free.
That was epic.
OG Fozzy.
Oh, yeah. But no, like I'm jacked. I'm really curious to see. I really want to see what the SummerSlam stadium is going to look like. I already know what the arena or the stadium looks like, but
right.
I'm just excited. I'm excited that the SummerSlam announcement has happened. I mean, we knew months in advance Cleveland was the front runner. It was just the formalities that were coming out.
Yeah. So now I would love to do another SummerSlam. I would love to do a WrestleMania at some point. I'm not liking these all-inclusive package prices that the WWE has come out with. So we talked a little bit about this yesterday on the Raw Patrol. I'm going to put this out there for everybody that is listening and watching this. Money in the Bank, we know, is happening in Toronto. So premium ringside seating, a two-night stay, July 5th to the 7th, at the Intercontinental Toronto Center, with in-venue pre-show hospitality with Trish Stratus, a ringside photo opportunity, and a Money in the Bank ring mat plaque. Starting price per person, $10,595. That is insane.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that the WWE can maybe start to figure out how to. It's a billion-dollar company. Do they need to be charging $10,000 per person? And I understand it includes your hotel. But now you still have to worry about your food. You have to worry about your flight or driving there. Your gas to drive there. Gas is even astronomical right now.
Yeah, at least here in Canada it is.
To fly within Canada is more than flying internationally, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
And people will pay it, and I know that they will. But for us, true fans, I would love the opportunity to be able to do a ringside at a decent price.
With these travel packages, there goes my bucket list of wanting to sit ringside at a Royal Rumble.
Right? It's insane. And now, is it going to be the same for SummerSlam in Cleveland? And then that's going to be American pricing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like 6 cruises that I could take for $10,000. Like, what? What? I don't know if you saw that.
I did. I'll take a look once we're done here.
Perfect. Bulks are saying, I never do the premium stuff. I get the cheaper seats. And I totally understand that. I totally do. I have done the cheaper seats as well. I did the cheaper seats for SummerSlam 2004. Great experience. Freaking loved it.
And here's the thing about SummerSlam 04. I got the same seats as Carl, but I had to move to far more expensive seats because my area was taped off because they were going to do a segment of Sunday Night Heat there.
Yeah.
But I want to compare this to Unforgiven 06, okay? The $10,000 price right there for Money in the Bank. At Unforgiven in 06 for premium seating, it was only $300.
Pardon me, come again?
It was only $300. It got you early access into the arena, ringside seats, the ability to take home the chair with you as a souvenir, and I think a meet and greet with Jeff Hardy.
And there ain't no hotel that's costing you $9,000 for a couple of days.
Yeah. That's a guarantee.
Wow. Now, I know, granted, it was a while ago. You're talking 06. I get it.
Yeah. Nearly
almost 20 years, 18 years ago. I get it. Yes, inflation has damaged a lot. I get it. I do. I'm afraid that it's going to continue with this trend mm-hmm. when it comes to the PLEs that are happening. And I just don't like it. I don't like it because I have supported professional wrestling my entire life.
Right.
I have gone to the shows. Thankfully, I was able to take in an Impact show. Now, back to TNA, it was Impact at the time, and got front row seats, which was beautiful, early access, everything. And it was like $120 for front row, early access, meet and greets, autograph sessions, the works, which wasn't bad.
Yeah.
$10,000. And yeah. It just says premium seating. So now is that possibly 1 to 5? First to fifth row?
From what I've seen from seating, that is the case from like the first 5 rows, plus the seats by the aisleway.
If I'm paying $10,000, I better be front row.
Yeah.
You give me second, third, fourth, fifth, I'm not going to be happy.
Now keep in mind, back to Unforgiven 06, I sat fifth row from ringside. My ticket then for just that seat was $160. Oh, and I bought 3 tickets for my brother and a friend of mine.
Wow.
So $480, tax everything.
For 3 seats, fifth row.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, I know that Unforgiven wasn't necessarily one of the big 4, but still.
Right. But back in 06, it had its own prominence to it.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, especially that show. That show was headlined by John Cena and Edge in a TLC match. And DX versus the McMahons in Hell in a Cell.
Yes. Yeah.
That was a great show, by the way.
Bolster saying, since they went with third party company for premium packages, I've heard a lot of nightmare stories about how they were treated. I have heard a lot of stories as well. Social media is good for that. You were able to find a lot of that, a lot of people on X, a lot of people on Facebook, a lot of people on even TikTok.
YouTube. There's a couple of people who did last year's Royal Rumble, they paid $20,000 because it was one guy and a friend of his, and they videotaped the entire experience, but they were told they were not allowed to do it, but they snuck the footage anyways and did it.
20,000
was going on
each.
Oh, 10,000 each, but 20,000 total for the both of them. There was a lot of restrictions that they had to meet in order for them to experience everything that was offered to them.
There is no chance in hell that you're going to tell me that I cannot record my experience. That's bull.
Oh, especially they totally if did. I'm paying that. They threw that? It up on YouTube.
I'm glad they did.
And they got a few million views out of it. So WWE, I probably turned their opinion around on it and realized, oh, wait, these guys are influencers. They know what they're doing.
Right? That's nuts, man. Oh, that's nuts. I'm charging you $10,000. But you can experience it all, but you got to keep it all up in your head.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
The only respect that they did do was they met with that green shirt guy who always sits front row in the middle at every WWE event.
Yep.
They met with him. He respectfully said, I don't want to be on camera. So they're like, okay, we won't shoot you, but can you tell us how you got these tickets? And he's like, okay, I can tell you, but you can't put it out there. And they respectfully did that, you know?
Okay. So they didn't say.
Right.
Okay, good.
They just said that they met with him and he explained how they got the tickets or how he gets his tickets.
Nice. Joe would call them trust fund babies. He did. He would call them trust fund babies. The third party company that's come in to do all of this, I think it's ridiculous. Like, I understand that you're a third party. I get that. And that you have to make your cut as well.
Mm-hmm.
But really, that type of an expense. And how much more is it going to be? Because Money in the Bank even isn't one of the big four.
They're treating SummerSlam it like it's one of the big four now, or the big five, we'll call it now.
Right. And I don't abide by that. It has been, always will be, then, now, forever, big four.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Except for when King of the Ring was around.
No, even then, King of the Ring was a secondary pay-per-view for me. WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, SummerSlam, Survivor Series. Those are the big four.
Yeah, I guess you could you'd be right on that, because the majority of the King of the Rings didn't really carry any cachet other than the one that Brock Lesnar won in 2002.
Right? So how much more now is this third-party company going to be charging for premium seats, premium packages? I haven't taken a look. I wonder what the ticket prices are just for seats.
I haven't seen that yet.
I haven't either. Talk about something for a second. I'm looking it up right now.
But yeah, this $10,000. I wish I had the $10,000. I actually made a comment yesterday because Carl and I were watching poker beforehand, and we're like, well, at least the winner can afford like at least 100 seats there.
Right.
But no, the $10,000, that just annoys me, because now I'm thinking about when UFC used to charge premium seating way back when, and premium seating for a UFC event was like $1,000 at the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus. And we got Bulkster coming in saying that he's been to Survivor Series in Chicago twice. And it's usually multi-events. Like, last one was SmackDown and Survivor Series in the same seats for both. He got the same seats for both, paid $300 total, if that, and the hotel was $100 a night. So, yeah, that's like $500. That's easy to pay that, you know?
Yeah. Damn right it is.
I mean, you can create your own experience that week on those weekends, because not only do they have the pay-per-view, the SmackDown or the Raw or whatever, but they also have meet and greets outside of like WWE specified areas. So you can go to like a Best Buy and meet up with AJ Styles or something like that and do a meet and greet there.
Right. Meet and greet signings, different stuff like that. Yeah. So there are not tickets available just yet for, there's packages for Money in the Bank, but not just straight tickets.
Which is weird, because I could swear our buddy, our pal Scott Stanford, kept mentioning ticket sales over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm on the site right now, and it is not showing anything for tickets just yet. You can register, you can pre-register, but that's it. So I'm on WWE.
Maybe he's just promoting the date of the event.
Could be. So the site is onlocationexp.com that is being used for Money in the Bank. That's the third party. Trish Stratus at the pre-show hospitality. And you can sign up for the packages, it says here. This one's interesting. We've got the champion ticket and priority, which gives you the premium ringside seating. So the other one is front row. It looks like the other one, the elites package, is front row.
Okay.
Yeah. So the champion package, premium ringside seating, ringside photo op, Trish, photo op, fast lane, Money in the Bank, ring mat, plaque, official commemorative chair, and all
which lower. That's on my bucket list to get with those chairs. At least one of them.
That one is starting at $3,500 per person. That's just tickets and the extra little stuff there.
Now,
that's
see, it.
That's not hotel.
I'd probably pay for that, because I'm not paying $6,500 for a hotel. Put me in a Motel 8 while I'm down there, you know, and I'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I mean, you go lower level seating for the hotel package. You were looking at $2,270 per person, dedicated arena entrance and credential and lanyard, as well as an official priority pass gift pack and the plaque. And then you've got upper level tickets that gives you two nights at the hotel pre-show with superstar appearances, not Trish, but superstar appearances, priority pass, gift pack, dedicated entrance, credentials, and lanyard. And that one is $795 per person.
I know what package that one is. I've seen that one on YouTube as well. But what they do is they put you in a room for the superstar appearances. They don't tell you which wrestlers are going to be appearing. And they put you in like a little like press conference kind of room. And then they have the wrestler come in. You do the photo op with them. You talk with them for however long. And then you move on.
Right. And that's...
That's really cool to do too. So.
Right. Those are just Money in the Bank. Mm-hmm. That's not including SmackDown.
Or NXT Heatwave.
And that's not even listed here, because it's got Money in the Bank week shows. All it has is SmackDown. You could do priority pass for that at $450 per person. And then you've got add-ons that you can add in. Seriously? Holy crap. Money in the Bank Superstar Brunch from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. All-inclusive food and beverage, WWE Superstar appearances. No tickets, no nothing. $350.
You better be feeding me some filet mignon at that brunch for that price.
And then there's another brunch from 11 to 12:30, $350.
Again, you better be feeding me some filet mignon at that brunch for that cost.
Crap, man. That is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, you click on just for tickets and it says complete the form below to be first to receive exclusive pre-sale information for the Money in the Bank weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Man, alive. Now that is what is going to start hurting things. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Because I can guarantee you the majority of the people who are going to buy tickets are just going to buy tickets just to go to the event. Because the event alone is more than worthy enough for your memories.
Yeah. Bolts are saying WWE is the Disney for wrestling fans. Yeah. I now, love see, Disney that, too, though.
Yeah, that kind of worries me too with those price tickets because me, you, OMD, we've all discussed the idea of possibly doing a travel package with WrestleMania, provided it goes to Minnesota next year.
Right.
That really scares me now. If we're not going to, that we may not be able to do it now.
I'm not going to be able to do it if it's at those kind of prices. Nope. I will do the Jericho cruise instead.
Yeah.
Get a whole bunch of wrestling action, a whole bunch of meet and greets, autograph sessions. Yeah.
Free food, by the way, on that tour.
Well, no, it's included in the ticket pricing, but
yeah, well, that's what I mean by free, you know. Set your hopes for non-floor seats, Bulkster says.
Yeah, and no, it's true. Like upper level seating.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's but, I had mid upper for SummerSlam 04.
Yeah. I was right under where the hard cam was. But here's the thing about those bowl seats, man. Those bowl seats are typically better than the floor seats. I will flat out say that.
Right.
Because you can see the action.
It's very true. We did a house show in Barrie with the children and my ex-wife. And we had row 15, like floor row 15 or something like that.
I wonder if you were at the same house show I was at in Barrie.
You couldn't see Jack.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, if I'm going to be doing floor seats, I want front row.
Yeah.
If I can't get front row, then I'm going to go up a level.
Gotta
be as close as I can be.
So the house, I also went to a house show in Barrie back in 2010. I had floor seats as well.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being annoyed. There was a match between Justin Gabriel and Wade Barrett. And I remember being annoyed that they took the action to the outside and I had to stand up just to watch where they were brawling, you know?
Right.
No, they were they were the only wrestlers that took the fight to the outside. All the other
kids were young.
All the other matches were right in the ring.
My kids were young then, so it was difficult because they couldn't see. They couldn't see anything.
Yeah, and now granted, I'm a 6'5" guy, so standing up and seeing the action on the outside is not a problem for me, but
it's a problem annoying. For everybody behind you, though.
Yeah, it really was.
Right?
But yeah, that $10,000, that stings and that hurts.
It does.
What do you say we roll on with another story? A story of a wrestler that I don't really know that well, but it still hurts because he's a brother in arms. But Japanese wrestling star Yutaka Yoshi has passed away last week after having a match. He performed in New Japan, performed in various promotions all around the world, died very suddenly. Like he had his match, came backstage, collapsed, just like Rob Rage did when he passed away. Today it was revealed he passed away of arteriosclerosis. I'm not really sure how you pronounce that. That's exactly
how you pronounce
it. It's an issue with the heart. Yeah. It's an issue with the heart. A lot of wrestlers have had this issue. What do you make of this passing?
I mean, definitely it's sad. And I mean, it's again, and one of those things where you can never really take anything for granted, right?
No.
No matter who the person is, the size, the shape, the health of the person, there is always going to be something that could be a detriment. So arteriosclerosis, for those that don't know, occurs when the blood vessels that carry oxygen and nutrients from the heart to the rest of the body through the arteries becomes thick and stiff, which can restrict the blood flow to the organs. And that's essentially what happened. And he collapsed.
Yeah. He came backstage, hugged his family, did his thank you to the wrestler he worked, and just collapsed. And they brought him to the hospital, tried to revive him, couldn't do it. Right. But at 50 years old, he was still working. I mean, like a lot of the Japan wrestlers wrestle in well into their 60s because of how incredibly healthy they are over there. This dude was incredibly healthy from all the accounts I've read on him. But this is also like arteriosclerosis seems to be a very common thing among wrestlers passing away. Cause Eddie Guerrero passed away from it. Brian Pillman, I believe, Brian Pillman was an overdose. Big Boss Man passed away from it. Hercules Hernandez passed away from it. Just a list of wrestlers who have passed away from that. Yeah. And it's a constant reminder that when you're in the wrestling business, keep your heart healthy.
Exactly. That's the biggest thing. You need to make sure that you are healthy in that respect.
Mm-hmm. But our thoughts and prayers go out to Yutaka Yoshi's family. I know it's a very trying time, but we all will move on. As we are going to move on, what do you say we move on to our showstopper segment of the day, Carl?
Because sure, I know you've got a lot. That.
I know you've got a lot to say on this one.
I got enough to say. I definitely do.
Our showstopper segment is related to our story, if I can pull it up here. Wrestling with Hollywood. Now, Carl, you came across a movie over the weekend. I can't remember what the story was, but why don't you enlighten the audience on what you had come across?
Ricky Stenicki is the movie that I came across. Great movie. I enjoyed it. I had some good belly laughs. It was a comical movie starring John Cena. John Cena playing this odd role, I guess you could say, in the movie. It got me thinking and got me wondering as we say hello to Bobby. Good to see you, my friend. Thank you so much for popping in. It got me thinking about typecasting when it comes to professional wrestlers in Hollywood. Now, we discussed after the Raw Patrol last night a little bit about that. And when I say wrestlers in movies, what are some of the names that you think of? The majority of people automatically will go to, well, The Rock, of course, John Cena, and then Hulk Hogan is one that a lot of people know.
And even Batista, the people I put in the thumbnail.
Yes. Yes. And Bobby said Batista, Bulkster saying Kevin Nash as Shredder, which a lot of people really didn't know that was, you know.
Yeah, it took Kevin Nash revealing in a WWE magazine interview that he was Shredder.
Yeah. Yeah.
For me, at least it did.
For me, too. I had no idea. But it really got me thinking about how these wrestlers are cast into the different roles. Now, Bobby, you mentioned Batista. I'm going to take Batista for a moment here. Batista's biggest Hollywood breakout role has been in Guardians of the Galaxy, where he is simply playing this juiced up idiot of a character, a stupid person.
Drax the Destroyer.
And then we take a look at names like, we'll go the way other end of the spectrum, Hulk Hogan. Now, yes, while Hulk Hogan may have had a few good roles in the beginning.
No Holds Barred is one of my favorite movies of his.
No Holds, Rocky, right? Like, just all of these different, you know. But then we get to Suburban Commando. Now we get to, Bulkster just commenting Suburban Commando. We get to Mr. Mom or Mr. Nanny. Mm-hmm. Again, juiced up idiot characters type of role. And the same thing happened with John Cena in this movie.
Before you continue with John Cena, I want to mention Hogan's most stupidest movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Santa with Muscles.
Yeah. Right. Right.
That movie was terrible. Sorry,
yes, it was.
I liked a lot of your early movies, but that movie just flat out sucked.
Let's talk The Rock for a moment.
Yeah.
The biggest star of freaking Hollywood right now. The Tooth Fairy. What? Again, would just seem to be a juiced up idiot on screen. Now, Bulkster, you are right. John Cena is good at comedy. I do get that. But it seems like that's just a typecast. Like, it's something that he went out, he tried, you know, going into the world of acting on major screens. I'm not talking the little stuff that he did with like WWE films. I'm talking major films where, okay, so like he's put into this role of being a comedy. And then he's just like, ooh, the people like me. Okay, I'm just going to keep on doing this and being comedic. When I can guarantee there is so much more. There is so much more depth to John Cena and his acting that I would like
to see it. I'm going to flat out say this. I know a lot of people didn't like him in it, but I loved him. John Cena in The Marine was awesome. I love that movie.
Right. And that gives you just a little taste, I think, of, you know, the difference that John Cena can do. Even in, you know, the Fast movies, he's even ditzy in the Fast movies, and, you know, and he could have played a more, How do I say that? I'm losing my train of thought for some reason.
A more rounded character.
Yeah. We'll use those words.
I didn't get to see the John Cena Fast movies, but from what I understand, he was a villain in one of them, which that intrigues me because I want to see John Cena play as a villain.
Right. No, understandable. Bobby saying that you like The Rock in Moana.
Okay, there's a bit of an understanding right there, because Disney is typically comedic, so The Rock's character was actually funny in that movie, very funny in that movie.
Right.
You gotta be funny or be that quirky character when you're doing a Disney film. So
waving hello to Parrish. That's why the little bit of a lull in the audio. Villain was good. It's the sequels from that. The sequels from that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should have known that. I got fat fingers and I mistype all the time. What are your thoughts here, Chris? What are your thoughts on this?
I was just going to say, going back to Batista, here's another guy who started off with a serious role and a major role at that, being one of being a Bond villain. Like, how gigantic is that?
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to, I'm kind of going to defend Batista a little bit here for taking on the role of Drax, which is a movie series that made him like moolah and a half.
Right.
But taking on the character of Drax the Destroyer, he knew what he was doing because I've read a little bit about the comics. Drax the Destroyer in the comics is a bit of a comedic character. And it was kind of refreshing at the same time to see Batista take on this comedic role, because in the WWE, he's always been that serious, I'm going to kick your butt kind of character. To a degree, except for when he turned on Rey Mysterio, that was actually pretty funny.
Right? And his little meltdowns that he would have?
Yeah.
Were comedic, right?
That
in
meltdown
the wheelchair and stuff like that.
I literally watched that meltdown like just a couple weeks ago.
Nice.
Just because I wanted to get a good laugh out of Batista again. I have not seen Cabin in the Woods with Batista just yet, but I'm kind of intrigued about that. Drax the Destroyer, typically a comedic character within the comics as well.
Right.
Batista had the perfect look for Drax, by the way. Perfect look. So it worked for him.
Yeah, from comics. Yep.
Yeah. But what really gets me is Hulk Hogan taking on all them lesser and lesser roles. Coming from Rocky III from No Holds Barred. No Holds Barred made bank at the box office. Right. Not so much in the US, but worldwide it did. He was so good in that movie. Hulk Hogan was so good in No Holds Barred. I really liked him. And Zeus.
Yeah.
Tiny Lister. May he rest in peace. But Hogan just taking on those lesser and lesser roles, it felt like it made Hollywood just turn their eyes away from the wrestling world. Can you imagine if they cast Cena as the Invisible Man? Jeez.
There is a comment from the Bulkster Show. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to put that out there so that everybody in audio land knows that came from the Bulkster Show.
But I mean, if you're getting into the acting world, I mean, you got to start somewhere. And Hogan and Batista started off with big, big roles. Like I said, Batista playing that one of the Bond villains.
Right.
Hogan in Rocky III. I mean, that led to Sylvester Stallone inducting Hogan into the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
But as I said, like Hogan's movies just sunk at the box office after No Holds Barred. Mm-hmm. So he started getting all these crappy roles. Hogan isn't exactly the best actor to begin with. But neither was John Cena. I will admit, I like the Marine. John Cena was still kind of robotic in that movie, but it was entertaining to watch him at least. Because it made sense, because I've always said before he did that, I'm like, just looking at John Cena, I'm like, he needs to play a Marine in a movie because he's got the look. And I'm not quoting Roxette there.
Right. Batista Inspector was fantastic.
Thank you, Parrish. I've been trying to rack my brain as to which 007 movie it was.
You talk about Hulk Hogan, I'm going to throw out another Hulk Hogan movie. And you tell me if this was a good one for him or if this was a bad one for him. Three Ninjas, High Noon at Mega Mountain.
Oh, God, no. I don't even count that as part of this as part of the Three Ninjas franchise. I don't even count the sequel, Three Ninjas Kick Back, as part of the franchise. Three Ninjas Part 1 was good enough. I didn't need the other two.
Right? Cena in Vacation Friends 1 and 2 is hilarious. Yeah, and it seems like that's all that Cena is doing. He's being typecast as just that jacked up goofball.
Look at what he did at the Oscars.
Right? Right?
I mean, that was with Jimmy Kimmel, who's a natural comedian, but...
mm-hmm. Parrish, yes. Nash's Super Shredder. I think Bulkster mentioned that a little bit ago as well when we first started talking.
And here's the thing. I actually liked Kevin Nash in the two movies he's done because he was also in The Punisher.
Yes.
And that scene where he's fighting Thomas Jane's character, The Punisher, mm-hmm. Fantastic scene. Because what you had in that scene was Nash and The Punisher fighting each other. Meanwhile, across the hall, The Punisher's friends are cooking up a nice big pasta dinner for him. It was like the perfect mesh of comedy and action in one scene. I love that scene.
Nice. Bobby's saying that he liked John Cena in Daddy Home 2. Okay. And the Chris Parrish saying Turtles, I mean. What do you mean? Did you know that there was an actor named Kevin Clash in the Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, well? he was one of the puppeteers, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. Interesting, right? Like,
yeah.
Two letters, that's it. That's it.
He was the puppeteer for Shredder or Splinter, if I'm not mistaken.
So, do you think that I'm just being cynical? And maybe looking a little too deep.
Not at all. You're just actually expressing like you want more out of John Cena. You want more out of Batista. You want to see maybe John Cena take on that dramatic role, which I feel like he can do. Mm-hmm. You want to see Batista take on more action roles because let's face it, Batista's got the body of an action star.
Right. Right. And we all know like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sylvester Stallone. Like these guys, they're not going to be able to do what they've been doing anymore. I will even go as far as saying like a Jason Statham mm-hmm. is going to be getting up there to where he can't do these things anymore. We're going to need that new person to come in. And I think like especially a Batista could be that new person to take on the Schwarzenegger or Stallone type of role. Bulks are saying that he thinks that Cena likes these roles. And you know what? Well, let's see what Parrish's comment is here. He says, I also think it's important to note that the actors themselves, the wrestlers, are taking these roles and aren't just being given them. They are accepting the comedy roles because they want to do them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I totally get that. And you made an excellent point, Parrish, to kind of go along and coincide with what Bulkster is saying here, where their persona on television in the professional wrestling realm was always so very cut and dry. This is the character. And they can now go and do something different. And I get that. I totally do. And yeah, Cena probably really does enjoy doing this. And I think somebody in Hollywood needs to capitalize on this situation and give us a Jim Varney biopic with John Cena then.
I was going to say that, but I also thought of the idea of there's been talks of rebooting the Terminator series and I said earlier in this episode, John Cena's role in the Marine was kind of robotic, and it just clicked in me. He acted opposite T-1000 in the movie. How fitting would it be if they did a reboot of Terminator with John Cena as Terminator?
It would be interesting, but again, I think that role should be a Batista role.
That would work too. That would totally work too. But I wanted to say too, like I've worked in acting. I've worked in films before. When you're doing it, when you go from doing a serious drama film, like I did with The Masked Saint to a comedy show back to a heavy action show like I've done, it's very much night and day. Like the serious movies, there's not a lot of like funny camaraderie on the set, or a lot of freedom a little bit.
Right.
But when you do the comedy movies, there's on set, there's a lot of freedom. Yes, you still got to get the work done. Yes, you still got to get the shots in, but it's just a lot more lighthearted, lightheartedness on set that's going on.
Especially when you're on set with the Trailer Park Boys.
Oh, yeah. I unfortunately, I missed that opportunity.
I was there. I was on set with Trailer Park Boys. I wasn't acting. I was more backstage crew. But yeah, I got that experience with them and Carrot Top and Tom Green. That was interesting. Parrish says that Cena has flat out said that himself on interviews with Logan Paul and Chris Van Vliet, talking about the biopic for Jim Varney. Ernest, for those who are not aware, the Ernest films, that was Jim Varney.
Ernest, or if you, watched the Beverly Hillbillies 1993 film, he was Jed Clampett.
Mm, that's right. Bulks are saying Cena is like a Amish on Rumspringer, and WWE kept him in line, and now he is cutting loose.
Oh, Parrish is correcting us here. Know about different roles than wrestling.
Know about doing different roles than wrestling. Okay. I misquoted then. I apologize.
But yeah, like I said, there's a difference in tone, I guess. Like I said, when you're shooting a drama film versus when you're shooting a comedy film.
Yeah, there is.
On set.
There's huge differences.
Yeah.
Huge differences. Were you here on set for Edwin Boyd?
I so badly wanted to do that because I read the synopsis and I'm like, I got to be a part of that film. But I missed it by 2 weeks when I moved to the city.
I was there for a little bit on that set as well. Yeah, totally different vibe. 100% totally different vibe. Parrish is saying how acting roles and wrestling roles differ and how they
how that appeals to him.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but the one thing that I found interesting, because the first movie I got to do was The Masked Saint, pro wrestling movie. For those who haven't seen it, stars Roddy Piper, Brett Grandstaff is in it. Laura Jean Korostecki is also in it. Who, by the way, if you know if you don't know who she is, watch Chucky season 2. She's in that. If you're into horror TV shows.
Right.
Who else is in it? Red Green's partner, buddy on the Red Green show. Patrick McKenna plays him. That's it. That's his actor name. I can't remember his show. I can't remember his character name. In it too, and he plays a douchebag in the movie, and he's actually quite funny when you talk to him in person. Nice. Backstage for the wrestling scenes with Roddy Piper, I'll tell you guys this right now, being on set for a wrestling movie is a lot like being backstage at an actual pro wrestling show. The camaraderie between all the boys, I knew the majority of the boys that were in there for the scenes,
yeah,
but the camaraderie was just totally there still. Like the whole walking up, shaking everyone's hand, saying hi, like talking to you like you haven't talking to them like you haven't seen them in 10 years. Meanwhile, you saw them 5 minutes ago.
Yep. Yeah.
That
many people haven't there. go and check out the Masked Saints. It was filmed here in the city that we live in a little 75,000 population city is where it was filmed. Bobby, thank you very much. This is a Hotshot Danny Duggan t-shirt from Canadian Wrestling's Elite. Once in a while, I do like to rep my friends, and I do it on screen.
Yeah. Well, I'm just repping our city. I'm wearing a Station Mall shirt.
Nice.
No, that shirt is epic though. But yeah, no, it was totally a lot of fun being on the Masked Saint set.
Nice. Well, I'm glad that everybody has had fun doing what they're doing. Today has been a good day for us here on Turnbuckle Talk with Turnbuckle Studios. Going all night, I've had down at the bottom are Good Pods. Please go and check that out. goodpods.com/podcasts/turnbuckle-talk-264524. And if you're unaware, we do have a new YouTube channel, as the last one was deleted by YouTube. But this one's going to be youtube.com/@turnbuckle_studios. It would be great if you can to go and check that out. Give us a subscribe over there and help us get back up to the level that we were before. Chris, where can the people find you on the socials?
All right, you can look for me at CBRS Entertainment on YouTube, Twitch TV, CBRS _ Entertainment, Threads.net at CBestFilms83, Facebook.com/Chris.Best83, TikTok.com/CBRS.Entertainment. You can look for me, hopefully, I'm going to say Thursday afternoon now because I had some troubles trying to record it. Thursday afternoon, I'm going to be uploading the latest episode of 40 Years of WrestleMania, WWE 2K24. Mm-hmm. You can look for me Saturday night, 8 p.m. Eastern on CBRS Entertainment, Turnbuckle Studios on Twitch, where I do Saturday night gaming. You can look for me 8 p.m. Eastern alongside this man here, alongside Chris Parrish, OMD, and Bubba Duke, as we do the Raw Patrol. And you can look for me every Tuesday night, 8:05 Eastern, doing Turnbuckle Talk as we report the goings-on in wrestling.
And if you guys are looking for some amazing merchandise, go and check out collarandelbowbrand.com. My good friend Al Snow, yes, that same Al Snow from the WWE, has created Collar and Elbow Brand. I am sporting their hat, as I always do, and he has graciously given us the first sponsored podcast from Collar and Elbow Brand. A promo code for you all to get 10% off. That promo code is JK Podcast. Use that promo code JK Podcast at collarandelbowbrand.com. And if you're looking for some Turnbuckle Studios merchandise, we have got you covered there as well. carlcarafel.redbubble.com. carlcarufel.redbubble.com. And the easy way for you to find all of my socials is with my link tree, linktr.ee/Carl Carafel. That's linktr.ee/KarlCarufel. For Chris Best, for myself, Carl Carafel, thank you for joining us on episode 363. Wrestling with Hollywood. Remember, everyone, the world's a scary place. Take care of each other.